car up to the door. I said, you know, what do you got? And he said, well, it's quite a bit. And so I backed my car up to the door, and sure enough, man, they kept coming out. And we thank you so much for that. As we were looking through that last night, we were just really grateful for, I don't know who all gave different things, but thank you so much. That is a tremendous blessing. Mark chapter number 1, and look, if you will, at verse number 32. Mark chapter 1 and verse number 32, the Bible says, and at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. Let me just say, if God, the Son of God, Jesus Christ incarnate in flesh, Son of God, needed to go out and pray, that's an example to us. We need to pray also. I believe that Jesus did that because he had a burden on his heart. All through the Scriptures, the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus would go out and pray. We know, of course, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he had a burden on his heart, the Bible says that he prayed and he said, not my will, but thine be done. And if this cup is possible to pass from me, let it be done, but not my will, but thine. And I believe Jesus had a burden on his heart here as he was praying. The Bible says he went out into a solitary place and prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Verse number 37, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. As I read this passage of Scripture, and as I read this every time, I'm just amazed at how Jesus began his ministry. We know the ministry of Jesus as he came and he died on the cross, and praise God, he died for our sins, and he rose from the grave, and victorious over death, hell, and the grave. But as Jesus began his ministry, he began to lay some foundational points in the disciples' mind. It was just a few days prior to this that Jesus passed by their boat as they were out there mending their nets. And he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. It was just a few days before this that Jesus called them to become his disciples. Jesus now was in the city of Capernaum. And we know from other passages of Scripture in Matthew chapter number 4 and verse 13 that Jesus dwelt in Capernaum. So I want you to get the picture here. This was Jesus' hometown. He was in Capernaum. The Bible says that Simon Peter was from Capernaum, and Andrew, even Simon Peter's mother-in-law, lived there in Capernaum. And Jesus healed her. She was sick of a fever. This was familiar territory to each one of the disciples that were with Jesus. The Bible says that as Jesus was there, that many of the disciples, as they came to Jesus, they began to follow Jesus, and there were sick that were brought to Jesus. This is what we would call today a revival. We would call this an exciting time. I mean, if that happened in our church, notice what it says, that when they came out, Peter said, all men seek for thee. I mean, any independent Baptist preacher would say, that's what I want to hear. All men are coming to church. They're busting down the doors. They're showing up early. They want to hear about Jesus. Simon Peter was excited. I can just imagine. He said, Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. I follow Jesus. Now, all men want Jesus. This is great. This is what it's all about. And Jesus did something that you and I need to realize, because he was laying the principles and the foundation of his ministry, that he knew if the disciples didn't get that, they would miss it. And the gospel would not go around the world if they missed that one point. I believe so many times in our Christian life, we get so excited about what God's doing that we fail to see the heartbeat of God, and we fail to see what God really wants to do. See, Capernaum was great. That was comfortable territory. That was familiar territory to all of them. But Jesus said to Simon, he said, let's go to the next towns. And I can just picture Simon Peter as he heard Jesus. He said, hang on, Jesus. Let me explain something to you. You're here in my hometown. I have a house here. You don't have to worry about lodging. We could stay right here. You could stay at my house. My mother-in-law is here. She can fix meals for us. We can live right here. And we can have a ministry right here. Jesus, let me tell you something else. All men are coming for you. All men want to see you. This is great. And Jesus said, no, Peter, let's go to the next town. And that's amazed me, because I thought, man, if anybody ever wanted to start a ministry, everybody's seeking for you, start it right there. I mean, just put down some roots and do that. But Jesus said, no, I want you to get a principle right now, early in your ministry. You don't understand it, but we've got to go to the next towns. We've got to preach to other people also. As I read that and I thought, Jesus, why did you do that? All through the Gospels we read of Jesus going to next towns. He would go to other villages and other cities, and he was always conscientious of those who had yet to hear the Gospel. I can picture Jesus as he told Peter that. Let's go to the next towns. Maybe he had in his mind the city of Magdala. That's where Mary was at. Mary was possessed with seven devils. And he said, Peter, if I stay here in Capernaum, Mary won't get saved and Mary won't know that she can have her name written down in heaven. And so, Peter, we've got to go to Magdala also. We've got to tell her about the gospel. Maybe he was thinking of Jericho. He knew that blind Bartimaeus was sitting outside the city and he was crying out for somebody to give him his sight. And he said, Peter, we've got to go to Jericho also, because Bartimaeus wants to see, not only physically but also spiritually. Maybe he was thinking of Zacchaeus there in Jericho, a crooked tax collector, somebody who had deceived a lot of people. And he said, if I don't go, he'll continue to do that and he'll never know that his sins can be forgiven. Maybe he was thinking of Sychar. I like that story, the Samaritan woman that came to the well. Jesus said, if we stay in Capernaum, we won't get to Sychar. This lady who has been married five times and living with a man that's not her husband, she needs to know that there's water that'll quench thirst, and I am that water. We've got to go. We've got to go to the next towns. Maybe he was thinking of Gadara. Gadara, where the maniac was in the tombs, and he was thinking, you know, that man needs help. If anybody needs help, it's that man that needs help, and we've got to go. Peter said, I don't understand it, Jesus, what you're doing in my life right now. I just want to stay right here. I just want to put my roots down and just live here. And Jesus said, no, let's go to the next towns, Peter, and they followed Jesus. Maybe he was thinking of Bethany, and he said, you know, there's a Mary and a Martha and a Lazarus there. There's going to be some trials in their life later on. Lazarus is going to die and they're going to need a friend. And if I just stay in Capernaum, they'll never have that friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And he said, I've got to go to everybody and I've got to tell everybody the good news. I like what Jesus said. They were wanting to come to see the miracles. And Jesus said, I've got to go and preach. He put the emphasis on preaching. You see, God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. And God wants men to hear the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so Jesus said, Peter, we've got to go and we've got to preach. We've got to preach the gospel, the kingdom of God, to all men so that they might be saved. Jesus knew these things, but the disciples didn't. And you and I are at that point in our lives sometimes where we look at what God's doing and we say, I just don't understand it. I don't understand what God's trying to do. I have everything figured out. And God says, let's do something else. And we say, what? What is it, God? What do you want me to do? And why do you want me to do it? And if we miss this principle, the principle that Jesus said on day one of his ministry, where he said, let's go to the next town, we miss everything and we don't understand what he has for us. But if we get this principle down, we can understand missions conferences. Why would a missionary want to go to another country? Because Jesus said, let's go to the next town. Why should I give the Faith Promise? Why should I put money in there to support somebody else to go to a mission field? Why should I do that? Because Jesus said, let's go to the next town. I got a blessing last night when I walked in the church and began walking up the hallways there and seeing all the letters on the board of the missionaries that you folks support. You say, what's that all about? That's the next towns. That's reaching other people with the gospel. Went to the bus meeting yesterday morning and heard all the bus routes in the different cities, not just Bourbonnais, all around here. What's that all about? That's the next towns also. You see, that's the principle that Jesus laid down. He said, you've got to have a vision for reaching everybody with the gospel. Not just your household, although you ought to start there. Not just your friends, although you ought to start there. But then eventually say, I want to go to all the world. I want to do whatever I can to get the gospel out to the next towns. Jesus did this and Jesus wants us to have that. I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so if he said that way back then, day one of his ministry, today he comes to you and me and he says, let's go to the next town. I believe he's calling young men to go in the ministry. I believe he's calling young ladies saying, I want somebody to go to a mission field. I believe he's calling people saying, let's go to the next towns. But you know what we do a lot of times? We say, I'm stuck right here. Capernaum's awful nice. I just want to stay here. But Jesus says, let's go to the next towns. There's some reasons that he said that. These reasons help us understand about the next towns. Number one, he knew how much God loved them. He understood God's compassion. He's a compassionate God. He's a gracious God, full of compassion. He's a God that loves everybody. And you and I don't have that love in our heart. Naturally, we don't, because we're sinners and we're just saved by the grace of God. And until God gives us that love, it's hard to love the unlovely. But God loves them. And so God says, let's go to the next town. Peter says, I don't even know where Magdala's at. I don't know Mary there. Why do you want me to go there? But Jesus said, I know him and I love him. And God loves him. When my dad staggered out of a bar, God knew him and God loved him. When I was raised in a Christian home, God knew me and God loved me. God knew you, God loved you. And God loves everybody the same. I think of Ukrainians today, that God loves them. It's sometimes hard to think that, man, I can love somebody that once hated America and hated the United States of America and everything that we stand for, but yet to go and to love them and to show the gospel to them. Why is that? Because Jesus loves them. And that's why Jesus says, let's go to the next towns. Let's go to those who hate us even and don't want anything to do with us. They hate the Word of God. But God loves them and God loves everybody. God wants people to be saved. There's another reason, and I believe this reason is something that you and I have a hard time understanding, and that is He understood the condition of man. He understood the sinfulness of man. Sometimes we don't understand the hurt that other people are going through. We don't know the heartache. We don't know what's all going on in their life. And so we don't have a burden for them because we don't see that. The song said, let me see this world through your eyes. If I could just see people the way Jesus sees them, it changes everything. Peter said, Jesus, why do you want to go to the next town? I don't want to go. And Jesus said, if you could see people just like I see them, if you knew the hurt that they were going through, you would be ready to go also. But sometimes we don't see them the way Jesus does. I could take you to an orphanage in the village of Zhukin today. There's a little boy there. I miss Artyom. I haven't seen him in 5 months since we've been here. Artyom is one revved up boy. I mean, he's the most revved up boy. He reminds me probably of what my mom used to think I was. Just revved up. I mean, a troublemaker. And I every time we go to the orphanage, we pull up in front of the orphanage and we'll pull up there and the kids will look out the window and they'll see us and they'll come running out. And I mean, it's like piranhas attacking a piece of meat. I mean, they come running out there at the van, about 50 orphans. Sometimes, man, I just want to drive off and get out of there. But we get out and we go up there and Artyom is 5 years old. Artyom taught me what it means to watch and pray. I've heard preachers say that all my life, and I thought, watch and pray, you need to watch and pray. He taught me what it means. I was praying one time at the end of our lesson, I was standing there praying, God bless these kids, and Artyom came up, just a little bitty guy, and kicked the dog out of my leg. Man, I mean, just put a welt on my leg. And so now when I pray, I watch and pray. I'm watching for Artyom. Where's Artyom at? I'm watching all the time for Artyom. And you know, when a little boy like that comes up and swings, he can't hit you in the mouth. He'll just come up and swing, and there's not too many places he can hit. So I really watch. I'm sitting there watching and pray that I don't enter into temptation to strangle that little kid. But you know, God knows the hurt. You and I sometimes we sit back and say, why should we go to another country? Why should we go as missionaries? Why should I support a missionary? Because God knows the little Artyoms in this world. I'm praying that one day God calls him to be a preacher and pastor a church or do something getting the gospel out. He's already trusted Christ, already prayed and received Jesus. And I'm praying that one day he'll give his life to God to serve God. God can do that. You say, oh, it's impossible. God does greater things than that. God can save anybody. God knows the hurt that people are going through. He sees the drunks, as I showed in our pictures there, the slide there laying on the street. He knows their hurt. We walk by like the Pharisee and the scribe, and we've got things going on, but God knows the hurt that they're going through. And God says, you know, I want you to go to another country. I want you to go to another town because there are people there that have yet to hear the gospel. What made David, all these missionaries, David Livingstone, go to Africa? What made missionaries go to a foreign field? What makes them say, I'll leave family and I'll go to another country? You know, David Livingstone heard Robert Moffat, his father-in-law-to-be, come back and make a statement. I've seen the smoke of 1,000 villages where they've yet to hear the gospel preached. And he said, I'll go. I could take you to villages today in Ukraine that have yet to hear the gospel. We could drive down south where Brother Angel was at that camp. Drive down south through villages one after another where nobody's preaching the gospel. And I believe Jesus stands there saying, let's go to the next town. Somebody needs to go and tell them the gospel. We could drive to the west, to Lviv, toward the Polish border. And I could show you towns, one right after another, where there's nobody there preaching the gospel. And Jesus says, let's go to the next town. We could head to the north toward Belarus. And I could show you towns. I've been there and I've seen the towns where nobody's been there preaching the gospel. They've yet to hear the gospel. And Jesus says, let's go to the next towns. We could drive out west towards Russia, out toward Kharkov, towards the western part, the eastern part of Ukraine. And I could show you villages where people have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. This last summer, we had 5,000 New Testaments donated to our church by BIMI. I took these New Testaments and I laid out a map before our people in our church. And I marked out 20 villages that we have yet to go to preach the gospel. And I said, let's try to take at least 200 New Testaments to each village and try to get the gospel out in these villages. We took this map and I gave a list to each one of the people in our church and I said, you can go on your own, you can go with us, but let's try to do whatever we can to get the gospel out. We would take out adults and teenagers and go in these villages, just stop in the middle of town and start handing out Bibles and tracts to people. And over again, people would say, I don't have a Bible at home. I don't have a Bible. Nobody has ever given me a Bible.
And I'm saying, we're just 20 miles away from where I live, and 20 miles away from where my church is, and 25 miles away, and yet people have yet to hear the gospel. And once again, God says, let's go to the next town. Somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to preach the gospel. Our church is ministering in 3 villages, but there are many more villages that have yet to hear the gospel. You could go to any mission field and you could see people who have yet to hear the gospel. And I believe God today is saying somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to preach the gospel. You say, how can I go to the next town? I can't go to a mission field. I can't go. It's impossible. God's not calling me. But everybody can give. Everybody can have a part in missions. You see, whenever a missionary goes, somebody needs to support him. And when somebody supports a missionary, you're going to the next town. Your dollar is going to the next town to get the gospel out. That's what Jesus said. Jesus also said this, I believe, because he knew the Great Commission, the church's commission. It's been called a commission, but it's actually a command. God said, go ye into all the world. And here on day one, when Jesus said to his disciples, go into the next towns and let us go to the next towns, I believe he knew what he was going to say on the Mount of Olives 3.5 years later. He already knew that. He's the incarnate Son of God, all-knowing, omnipotent, omniscient God. And he said, I'm going to tell them someday to go in all the world. And if I let them have a small vision in the beginning, later on they won't understand what I'm doing. If they ever get grounded where they're just complacent and apathetic and they say, well, we've done it all and we've seen it all, then they'll never realize what God wants to do in their life. You know what you and I need to realize is in our Christian life, we can never become complacent. We can never say, I did so much last year for missions and that's all I'm going to ever do. And I went once and that's all I'm ever going to do. We've got to keep looking at the next town, the next person going out and reaching them with the gospel. When we first started our church there, the Liberty Baptist Church, Brother Fisk was there for the first service and several people got saved. But about a month later, a man came into our church and sat down in the back. And as I was preaching, he came for a couple of services and then he came forward and got saved. Put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and this man got on fire for God. I've seen some people get saved, and they get excited, but this guy was excited. 2 weeks after he got saved, he came up to me and he said, Preacher, I've heard you preaching about tithing. When do I start tithing, and how do I do tithing? Now, you don't have a lot of people come up and say, when do I start giving? How do I start giving? I said, hey, let me tell you. Let me show you even where you put that in there, and started teaching about that. After he got saved, he said, I want to get baptized. Now, he got saved in October. And October in Ukraine is a lot like October in Chicago. It's kind of cold. But he got saved in October, and about the middle of November, he said, I want to get baptized. He said, I'm not going to wait any longer. I want to get baptized. And he came forward and he said, well, I want to get baptized right away. And I said, that's great, but we rent a building, and so we don't have a baptismal tank like you do. Heated water, everything like that. He said, I want to get baptized. I said, well, we'll go into town and there's a swimming pool we can rent. I know the director. We'll get that swimming pool and we'll have that baptismal service. He said, I don't want to be baptized in a swimming pool. That's where you go swimming. He said, I want to get baptized in the river. I said, you're nuts. I said, you're crazy. My exact words, I said, Tisumasasho, you are out of your mind. I said, you're crazy. I said, it's cold. It was snowing. He said, I want to get baptized in the river. And I said, this is crazy. I said, let's go to the swimming pool. I mean, it just costs a little bit, but man, we can do it in a heated swimming pool. That's a lot better. No, I want to be baptized in the river. So we went down to the river. He and his friend, Kolia, Stanislav and Kolia, went down there to the river. And I remember the day we got down there. There was the river and it was snowing that day. And I put my foot in that water and I said, this is crazy. I turned around to tell him, it's off. It's over. We're not doing it. God doesn't want you to do that. I just had a word of knowledge and we're not doing it. It's crazy. And as I turned around, they ran out into the water. They're standing out in the water. Now, up until that point, they had been questioning my spirituality about baptizing them. But then they went to a new plane and they started questioning my manhood. And they said, Preacher, you're not scared, are you? And I mean, that's a whole other thing. You question my spirituality all you want. But when they started saying, you're not scared, are you? I said, okay. And I ran out there also to baptize them. I was shaking. I don't have a lot of insulation. I'm standing there in that water, and I'm just shaking like this, man. I couldn't even hold him up, couldn't even say anything. Usually when we have a baptismal service, we'll go through the whole thing of giving testimonies and songs and everything on the bank. They're standing there on the bank wanting to give testimonies. I'm saying, let's get in the water, let's get out. We'll just do this later at the church. We don't have to do this out here. And they want to stand out there and sing, and they want to stand out there and give testimony, and they want to pray, and they were excited. I believe Jesus knows that when he says, let's go to a mission field. Let's go preach. I think if I had not gone, they wouldn't have got saved. They wouldn't have known Jesus as their Savior. When Jesus says, let's go to the next town, you and I need to say, Lord, I'll go. Here am I, Lord, send me. as Isaiah said. He said, "Hey, here am I, Lord. Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Because God knows who's in the next town. He already knows that. In our presentation, we showed about our building. A week and a half ago, I got a call from Brother Rich Miller, and he told us that we were evicted from that school building that you saw in the presentation. Some of the people in the area called the authorities and said, "We don't like a Baptist church meeting in the school building." So they evicted us. They said, "You cannot meet in that school building anymore." I ask you to pray for our church because our church has moved. We're like the children of Israel. I mean, we don't even have to wait for the cloud and the fire. We just move. I mean, it's like all the time we're on the move, moving around. And we're praying that God will give us some land and God will give us a building. You know, I think about the next towns. I could take you to a town, Hatyanovka. I already got permission from the mayor in Hatyanovka to start a church. We went there and had an evangelistic meeting and 33 people trusted Christ their Savior. I went to the mayor and I told him, I said, 33 people got saved. We want to start a church here. He said, "That's great." I said, "Do you have a building that we can rent?" He said, "No." He said, "But if you find a building, if you buy a building, you've got my permission to do that. We just need to find a building to go to that village to meet with those people who have already trusted Christ their Savior." I'm saying I could take you all throughout Ukraine. I could show you places where people have yet to hear the gospel. But I close with this thought. As Jesus said to His disciples in Mark 1:38, He said, "Let us go in the next town." And the disciples followed after Jesus. I'm sure as they were going, maybe they even mumbling among themselves, "Jesus is crazy. I don't know what He's doing. I mean, I don't understand what He's doing, where He's going. I mean, we were staying here. Everything was great," but they followed Him. And then Jesus got on the Mount of Olives and He told His disciples, "Go ye into all the world." And He gave them the Great Commission right before He ascended into heaven. And He said, "Ye shall be witnesses of Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth." And He was saying, "Keep going to the next town." I think of Matthew 28 and verse number 18 through 20. You know the Great Commission. Jesus says, "Go ye therefore." As I read that, I thought, wow, what's different? Jesus, the one that never changes, He said at the first, "Let us go." And we're following Jesus, but now He's saying, "You go. Go ye." And I thought, boy, that's strange. It's great when I'm following Jesus, but now He's saying, "You go. You go on your own now." I thought, man, I don't want to do that. I want Jesus to go with me. It was great when I could follow Him. And then if you read the end of verse number 20, He says, "And lo, I'm with you always." He said, "Nothing's changed. And now I'm sending you out, but the Holy Spirit's still going with you. And you're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit." I could take time this morning to tell you story after story of the times that God's been with us. I'm so glad when Jesus said, "Let's go to the next town," He didn't just say, "You go and I'll wait here." He said, "I'm going with you. And My presence is going to be there. When you have trials, I'll be with you. When you're preaching the gospel, the power is going to be there to save souls." He said, "I'm going with you. You're not on your own. I'm still with you." You say today, "Boy, I want to go to the next. I want to do what God wants me to do. This next year, what does God want me to do for missions? What does God want me to do?" God will be with you. God will bless you. "Lo, I am with you always." The closest place to the power of God, the presence of God, is in the will of God. When you're in the perfect will of God, doing what God wants, the presence of God is never sweeter. Right there doing what God wants you to do. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're headed to the next towns. Lord, I pray that You'll speak to hearts through what was said and what was shown in the video. God, I pray that You would call people to the mission field. Lord, I pray that each one of us would do our part to reach the lost with the gospel. Thank You so much You didn't stay in Capernaum. Thank You so much You made it on to Jerusalem and You died on the cross for us. Lord, I pray that You would help us to have a greater vision for lost souls. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.